Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
You're welcome. Because we all have to live with the fact that the internet is written in pen, and that's going to be in existence forever. Teenagers, the internet is written in pen. Hey, I wanted to start off today telling you guys a little story. This summer, my lovely bride and I went on our first official vacation in, like, I think it was 4 years. And by vacation, what I mean is no children. They didn't go with us. And, you know, if for any parents in the room, you know, when the kids go, it's called a field trip. If they don't go, it's called a vacation. Anyway, we had a great time. We went to the West Coast. She and I, neither of us had ever been further west than the Dallas-Fort Worth area where we used to live. And so we decided to go to the West Coast. We went to San Francisco for like 2 days. And then we drove up the coast to Napa for a few days, and we had a blast. The weather was great, and Danny's like, can we start a Wellspring Napa campus? Like, do you need me to? I'm like, no, we're not. But if you've been around Wellspring at all, you know I'm a planner, right? And so I had planned this trip. I planned this trip very, very, very carefully, and one of the things I had planned was that we were going to get up early on the morning we were leaving San Francisco, going to Napa, and we were going to drive across the Golden Gate Bridge. And then we were going to stop on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge, and we were going to take a picture. And my hope was to get one of those iconic Golden Gate Bridge pictures that you see from other people that I had seen before. That's what I really wanted. Now, there's something they don't tell you in the travel books, and they don't write songs about it. But in San Francisco, there's this thing called fog. And it's like the beginning of a horror movie, or like the aliens have come to attack us. When the fog rolls in San Francisco, the temperature drops like 20 degrees, and you can't see anything. And the entire time we were in San Francisco, there was fog blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. So you could never really see. It would kind of peek out every now and again. And on the morning we were going to cross the Golden Gate Bridge, I mean, the clouds were so heavy. It was so thick. It was so foggy that we really didn't get the picture I wanted. Now, what I want to show you first is I want to show you the picture I wanted to get, all right? The picture I wanted to get was this, right? This is beautiful, iconic image. You see San Francisco in the background. Just a gorgeous day, right? Like, this is what I wanted. Now, let me show you the picture I got. If you look very carefully, right here, very carefully, you can make out the faint distinction of one of the modern marvels of the world, right? I mean, you can't see it at all. And if you know my bride, like, she is putting on a happy face here, but it was like 55 degrees. It was wet, like it was misting. She was so mad at me we were taking this picture, and I'm like, we're taking a picture. I planned this. And so it didn't quite go according to plan. But as I was standing there, I began to notice something, right? Because you can barely see the bridge. In fact, I can tell you right now, once you got about right here, you couldn't see it at all. You could not see the Golden Gate Bridge. But something crazy was happening. I could still hear cars going across the bridge. And from where I was standing, you know, I could kind of see right back here. And I was watching cars just drive right across. And they couldn't see it, but they still drove on it. And even when I crossed the bridge, they couldn't really see anything, but they kept driving, and they drove really fast because they were crazy. But I mean, even though they couldn't see the bridge, they were using it. It was almost as if they had seen the bridge before when it wasn't cloudy. And they'd heard stories about the bridge, and they'd experienced the bridge enough to where even though it was cloudy and they couldn't see it in that moment, they trusted that the bridge was there. And they still used it. Now, I know you're all sitting there thinking, dude, it was a bridge. Of course, we're not two. We understand if we can't see it, it's still there. Right? Like, duh, of course, anybody would do that. But you've got to remember, I'm a preacher, and I'm trying to make a point. And the point is this. Those people trusted that the bridge was there, that it was strong enough, that they could go across it, that it would do everything they expect a bridge to do, even though they couldn't see it. What if you could have a faith in God that was strong enough, that was sturdy enough, that was sure enough, where you could count on it and trust it even when you can't see Him? See, that's what I think God wants for every single one of us. It's what I think God wants for me, and it's what I think God wants for you. I think God wants us to be as sure of His existence, as sure of His goodness, as sure of His provision, as sure as His protection, as sure as of His promises as we are, that even though we can't see it, we know that the Golden Gate Bridge is right there. How would your life be different if you had that same faith in the God of the universe? That is why we did this series. That's why we did a series called I Love the 90s. That's why we've done all the nostalgia. That's why we've tried to bring back all the memories. Because this series is all about memory. It's all about what we do with our memory. It's all about choosing the right memories. Because I am convinced that God has given us a plan and God has given us a path, not only to follow Him with our life, but that there are steps we can take to build our faith, to build it up so much so that when we find ourselves in situations where there's fog, when we find ourselves in situations where we don't see God, where we don't know what's happening, where we don't know what to do, we can be sure and we can trust that He is there. And I'm telling you right now, that is a type of faith that changes your life. And if you're here today and you don't even believe in God, you're here for a reason. You're here because you're on the fence. You're here because you're at least checking out God. You're curious. You're open. And I just want you to know that's what God wants for you. He wants a faith. He wants a relationship with Him where you can trust Him, even when you can't see Him. And that's why we've done this series. And if you've missed part of the series, let me kind of bring you up to speed with where we've been, and then we're going to go to where we're going to go today, and we're going to knock this series out. But we kind of began this series, like I said, talking about memories, talking about how we choose to remember the past, how we think about the past, how we frame the past, how we frame what happens to us. We talk about the fact that there's a difference between experience and memory. Experience is what happens to us. Memory is how we frame what happens to us, is how we think about it. And the reason that matters is what we said week one. How we frame the past determines how we face the future. We just know that. How we frame our past, how we think about our past, is going to determine how we face our future. And we basically talked about how we all have two choices. Our choice basically breaks down to the frame of fear or the frame of faith. We can choose to look at life through fear, look at life like we're in control, look at life like it's completely up to us to make sure nothing bad happens, like we have to control everything, or we can look at life through the frame of faith. We can look at life through the idea of, hey, God is in control, God loves me, God wants the best for me, whatever happens, God can turn it to good if I trust Him. Last week we talked about the fact that we're going to use whatever frame we make stronger. We're going to use whatever frame we build. So last week we talked about how to strengthen the frame of faith in our life, how to build the frame of faith in our life. And we do that through something we called building a memorial, of choosing to focus and choosing to remember all the ways God has provided for us. And we ask this question, hey, why does this matter? Why should we memorialize? Why should we make this such a big deal? And the answer was very clear. It's because it builds faith. It builds our faith. It strengthens our faith when we take steps to memorialize what God has done, to remember the times He's come through, to remember the provision, to remember the moments that we can't explain where God shined. And the reason it builds faith is because God's provision in the past points us toward His plan for the future. The best way to know where God's going is to remember where God's been. And that's what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. And today, I want to conclude this journey with, again, a simple question. How would your life be different if you were as sure of God's existence and goodness and provision as you are that the Golden Gate Bridge is there, even though you can't see it. Wouldn't we all agree, no matter what would change, wouldn't we all agree your life would be better? Isn't that what we're all going for? Better. And so what I want to do today is I want to, the best I can, I want to paint a picture for you of what life looks like when we choose the frame of faith. And when we choose to build and strengthen the frame of faith, what it looks like to actually walk in that faith. What it looks like to walk with God when you can't see God. And to do that, I want to turn to one of my favorite people in the Old Testament. One of my favorite characters from the Old Testament. His name is Jonathan. I love Jonathan. I named my middle son Jonathan after this character in the Old Testament. Jonathan was the son of a king. His dad's name was King Saul. Saul was the first king of the nation of Israel. And King Saul started off great, but then he went crazy. If you ever read the Old Testament, he went crazy. And eventually God had to replace King Saul with King David. Now here's where the story gets interesting. Jonathan and David were best friends. My oldest son's name's David, by the way. I did that on purpose. Jonathan's dad was king. David was going to be the next king. Well, guess who should have been king? Jonathan. But Jonathan gives up something he is owed. He gives it up because he knows what God wants. And that's the amazing thing about Jonathan. He is a man who is constantly shown to have this amazing faith in God. He just trusts God, and there was absolutely no reason for him to. Because he didn't get what he wanted. His dad went crazy. Things didn't happen the right way. But he had this faith that he had built over time. And in the story we're going to look at today, he chooses to walk in that faith. Now, let me set the story for where we are today, right? Jonathan at this time hadn't met David yet. Jonathan is serving in his father's army. He's a leader in the army. And the nation of Israel is at war with the Philistines. That was another nation. And if you've read the Old Testament, they were always at war with the Philistines. Fast forward a little bit, the story of David and Goliath, where David kills Goliath. Goliath is a Philistine. So they were constantly at war with the Philistines. But where we find them today is not only are they at war with the Philistines, they're in trouble. The Philistines have them vastly outnumbered. The nation of Israel is running out of weapons quickly. I think at this point only like three of them had weapons. The rest of them had been broken and they couldn't make new ones. They were also kind of trapped. The Philistines had the high ground and things looked really dark. If there was ever a time for the nation of Israel to say, hey, where's God? I don't see God. I don't know that God's around. It was right now. And many in the camp were doing that very thing, except Jonathan. Jonathan was a man who had chosen the frame of faith. He was a man who had built the frame of faith. And I want you to see what I think God wants to not only do through Jonathan, but do through every single one of us when we choose to follow that path and when we prepare ourselves to walk in faith, to walk in the idea that God's real and God loves me even when I can't feel it, even when I can't see it. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 14, starting in verse 6. And so, you know, they're sitting in their camp, and Jonathan gets an idea. And then Jonathan says, hey, let's go across to the outpost of those pagans, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. Essentially what he says is, hey, instead of staying here in our camp safe, let's go over to where they are. Let's go pick a fight. And he says this to his armor bearer. His armor bearer was his assistant. His armor bearer was a close aide. He actually carried his armor. He protected him. He would watch Jonathan's back in battle. And he basically says, hey, let's go do something insane. Let's go start a fight. Because he says, let's go across to the outpost of those pagans. I want to show you a picture, though, because it wasn't really across, right? What most scholars believe is that Jonathan and the nation of Israel was somewhere up here, all right? Maybe even back here, but they were in this area. The Philistines were up here, right? So they had to climb down into this valley, expose themselves, then they had to climb back up to get to where they were going. And Jonathan's like, hey, let's go do that. Just me and you. Let's go. There's a whole army over there. Doesn't that sound awesome? Doesn't that sound like the best thing in the world? And you hear that and you might think, well, Jonathan was crazy. What could possibly have possessed Jonathan to say, hey, let's leave safety and let's go do something crazy? Because on the face of it, it looks crazy. But I want you to understand why Jonathan did it. Here's his next words. He says this, perhaps the Lord will help us. For nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. See, where everybody else saw disaster, Jonathan saw his destiny. Where everyone else saw this big obstacle, Jonathan saw the fact that his God was bigger. And it wasn't just because in that moment Jonathan got some supernatural faith. It was because Jonathan had spent his life learning the stories about how God had provided for the nation of Israel. How God had given them victory in battle after battle. Jonathan had seen the memorials of where they had crossed over the Jordan River. Jonathan had seen what God had done. Jonathan had seen, even in his own family, he had seen God's faithfulness, even when his father began to turn his back on God. Jonathan had seen this in his own life. He had experienced victories before that he knew were God's. So Jonathan wasn't acting on some blind faith. He wasn't just acting on a whim. Jonathan was viewing his current circumstances through the frame of faith he had built over a lifetime. And it doesn't matter how big the obstacle is. When viewed through the frame of faith, God is always bigger. Now, before we go on, I just want to ask you, how would your life be different? If when presented with an obstacle, when presented with a challenge, when presented with adversity, you had a frame of faith where you could look at it through and say, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to step because perhaps the Lord will move on my behalf. Perhaps God wants to do something here when you get the letter from the HOA that makes you want to shoot somebody right in the face. Just punch them right in the nose, right? Imagine your first reaction not being the frame of fear. Who can I call? Can I get my attorney? What can I do? But imagine if instead you could take a step back and say, I'm going to view this through the frame of faith. God, what is going on here? That's all that happened with Jonathan. It just so happened that what was presented to him was a battle with the Philistines. But this isn't about the obstacle. It's about the God who's bigger than the obstacle. And you'll never be able to handle the obstacle. That's what I'm trying to say. You'll never be able to handle it. You'll never be able to overcome it until you've taken the steps in your life day to day to ensure that your God is bigger than your obstacle. To ensure that you see it that way. To ensure that you've experienced that. That's what happens with Jonathan. And people around him see it. Because he says this to his armor bearer, and this is how his armor bearer responds. His armor bearer says, do what you think is best. I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. Now, I'm convinced the reason the armor bearer said this was because he had watched Jonathan walk through life using the frame of faith. This wasn't some spur-of-the-moment decision. This wasn't some crazy thing. This wasn't out of left field. This was one in a series of steps he had experienced Jonathan take his entire life because Jonathan had built his entire life on faith and walked in faith. I say that because I don't want a dad going home and telling your wife, I'm quitting my job and opening a new business tomorrow because perhaps the Lord will move on my behalf. That's what Pastor Trey said. Please don't say that. Unless you have a life that has been characterized by walking in faith. And unless you have a life that you have built up this faith and it's something that's been eating at you for months and you know you're supposed to do it and this is the kick that you needed to take that step of faith. In that case, do it and I guarantee you, whoever's closest to you has been watching you will say, I trust you completely. whatever you decide. See, Jonathan's armor bearer was confirmation that Jonathan's was a life that was lived in faith. And he asks his opinion. But notice, Jonathan only said, perhaps the Lord will move on our behalf. He didn't say God's going to move. And the reason he said that was because he knew God could do it. He just didn't know if God would do it. See, the first thing we have to know is could before we know would. We have to settle in our heart God can do something before we can decide if he will do something. All Jonathan's at right now is the can stage. Hey, should we do this? We're sitting here, everybody's so scared. I just feel like we need to trust God, man. I mean, come on, he can help us. What do you think? You think we should do this? Armor bearer says, you know what, man? I'm with you completely. And so what Jonathan does next is a very logical, reasonable thing. He doesn't charge off into war. He then says, all right, God, I know you can do this. I want to know if you will do this. So he develops a plan. He says, all right, then, we will cross over and we will let them see us. And then he says, look, if they say to us, stay where you are or we'll kill you, then we'll stop and we'll not go up to them. Like, all right, God, I know what you can do. Now I want to see what you will do. So I'm going to take a step and I'm going to see how you respond. So if we go out there and they say this, they say, stay where you are, we'll know, all right, God's not with us. He could do this. He's not going to do this today. Still God. He just said, no, we're going to move back and we're going to wait for something else. But then he says this. He says, but if they say, come on up and fight, then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them. See, he had done something practical. He had asked his friend, hey, what do you think about this? And now he's doing something spiritual. He was asking God, hey, God, man, I know you can do this. I know you can. But I don't know if you will. But I want to walk with you. I want to step with you. I want to step in faith. So I'm going to throw this out there. And I'm just going to wait and see what you do. And whatever you do, I'm going to trust. Whatever you do, I'm going to respond. Now imagine a life where you walked with God saying, God, whatever you do, I'm fine. Whatever you do, I'm going to trust. Whatever you do, I'm going to respond. Whatever you want to do with my finances, I trust. Whatever you want to do with my career, I trust. Whatever you want to do with my kids, whatever you want to do with my marriage, whatever you want to do at school, whatever you want to do, God, I trust. Whatever it is, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to follow you. I know what I kind of want, I know what I think I'm hearing, but whatever it is you're going to do, I will follow. That's exactly where Jonathan was. And the big point I'm trying to make here is that didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like he woke up one day and said, I'm going to go do something extraordinary for God. The ordinary preceded the extraordinary. He had spent years and years and years in an ordinary life with God. Ordinary obedience, ordinary sacrifice, ordinary hearing about God, trusting his faith, building his faith, growing his faith. It was his obedience in the ordinary that prepared him for the extraordinary. And extraordinary is exactly what happened. Let's keep reading. It says, when the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. They began to mock them. Let me help you. When you begin to take bold steps for God, when you begin to make faith a priority in your life, the wrong people in your life will mock you for it. It is a great indicator of who the wrong people are. The wrong people will mock you. The right people will be with you. When you choose to walk in faith. If there are people in your life right now that when you are with them, you become less like Jesus, it's probably time to spend less time with them. Now, I know you're turning like, yeah, but we're supposed to love people, we're supposed to lead people to Jesus. Absolutely we are, of course. We're supposed to be, Jesus was friends with everybody. Here's the criteria, here's the test. When you're together, do they become more like you or do you become more like them? It's real simple. Jonathan's armor bearer became more like him. Jonathan's armor bearer grew because of Jonathan's faith. His enemies who saw him taking the step mocked him. They laughed at him. You know what's going on in your life. Only you can make those changes. And this is really a sermon for another day. So that was free. All right, let's keep going. Look what happens. Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson, almost exactly what Jonathan had said. And so look what happens. Jonathan says, come on, climb right behind me. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, for the Lord will help us defeat them. He had got an idea in faith. He had started to walk in faith. He had asked God to answer. God answers, and now he has to move. There will always come a point in your life where you have to put your faith into action, where you have to take a step in response to what God has done. See, Jonathan, even though he knew about God, even though he had faith in God, even though he knew the stories, he still had to take he and his armor bearer into battle with an entire outpost. As we will learn later, there were 20 of them in that one outpost. And they were backed by an entire army. And Jonathan was going to battle with he and his armor bearer. All under the hope, perhaps, the Lord will move on our behalf. Folks, that takes faith. That is the result of a lifetime of learning to trust God, a lifetime of taking little steps and seeing God's faithfulness, and taking another step and seeing God's provision, and taking another step and seeing God's purpose, and taking another step and seeing God's power. And it comes from then memorializing those things and making sure we don't forget them, and telling the stories about them and celebrating them, and never allowing them to leave our minds of how good and great God is, so that we find ourselves in the moment surrounded by fog where we can't see anything. We have that faith to hold on to, just like Jonathan did, and said, hey, you know what? Perhaps the Lord will move today on our behalf. And I know these steps of faith are the ones we all want to be able to take, right? We all want to be like, yeah, I made this great step of faith for God. I'm telling you, that step is the end of a process. That step comes at the end of a journey of choosing the frame of faith, of building the frame of faith, and walking in that frame. Two of the greatest examples of faith I've ever seen in my life are two couples who helped Danielle and I start this church. TJ and Beth Goff, Eric and April Colquitt. Two families. One lived halfway across the country. One lived completely across the country. Both had full-time, well-paying jobs at great churches. They were in no trouble. The churches were growing. The churches are still growing today. They had friends. They had houses. They had money. They got paid. Yet they both quit those full-time, well-paying jobs to move halfway across the country and to move completely across the country, all under the promise that I won't pay you for 2 years. Quite a sales pitch. But they did it because they had faith, because they felt God move in their heart, because they felt God say, I am up to something here. Perhaps I will move on your behalf. And I guarantee you, you ask either one of them, they'd do it again. Well, not go somewhere else. I hope they stay here. We're done. We're done with the moving and the calling, guys. God has done told me that. But again, that wasn't their first step of faith. That wasn't their first leap. That wasn't the first time they obeyed. That was simply the outflow of a life built on faith. And I guarantee you, when they made those moves, they knew God was up to something, but they had no clue what God was going to do. None of us did. And neither did Jonathan. Watch what happens. So they climbed up using both hands and feet. And the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed those who came behind them. They killed some 20 men in all. And their bodies were scattered over about half an acre. 2 kill 20. That's a great victory, right? That in and of itself would have been immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. That would be only God could do. But God wasn't even close to done. Look what else he does. Suddenly panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts and raiding parties. And just then an earthquake struck and everyone was terrified. God sent an earthquake. Think about that. We serve a God who can send an earthquake, and we're afraid of our neighbor. We're afraid of our boss. We're afraid of, well, I don't know. I mean, if I give that money to the church, I don't know what's going to happen. What if something goes wrong? What if a hurricane comes? What are we going to do? God can send an earthquake. And the only man who saw it was Jonathan. Full army. His dad's there. He's the king. He was appointed by this dude named Samuel. He had seen miracle after miracle, but he hadn't chosen to memorialize it. He hadn't chosen to build his life on it. He hadn't cultivated and built up that frame of faith. And in that moment, he looked through the frame of fear. The only one who saw through the frame of faith was a man named Jonathan. And he said, hey, wait a minute. God's provision in the past points towards his plan for the future. He's always been with us. He's always taken care of us. He's always provided for us. Perhaps he will move today. Perhaps he will move on our behalf. And that is exactly what he did. Now, just imagine your life and how it would be different, how you would handle adversities differently, how you would handle challenges differently, how you would handle calls of obedience differently. If you chose to embrace the frame of faith, if you chose to build and strengthen the frame of faith, and if you chose to walk in that frame, how would your life be different? Is there anybody in this room that would say, you know what, I'd rather my life be like it is right now? Is there anyone who wouldn't say, you know what, that sounds better? I don't know what it looks like, I don't know how to do it, but I know that sounds better. I know walking in faith sounds better. I know God using me to do things I can't imagine sounds better. I want to be a part of something big. I want to be used by God to change the world. That sounds better. And the reason it sounds better is because it is better. And this entire series has been simply teaching us how to do what God created us to do. And the way we do it is by simply applying what we've learned over the last 3 weeks. It begins very simply by choosing the frame of faith. We have to choose it. We have to choose to view our life through this frame. Then we have to build the frame of faith. We have to memorialize what God's done. We have to remember. And then we have to walk in the faith that we have built. We take steps. For some of us, they're very small steps. For some of us, if we've been in this faith thing for a while, they become bigger. On April 15th, 2008, God asked me to make the biggest step I've ever been asked to take before or since. April 15th, 2008, sitting in a church in Birmingham, Alabama, God asked me to leave my friends, to quit my job, to move to Myrtle Beach where I knew one person, and to start a church that would reach people far from him. Undoubtedly the biggest leap of faith I've ever taken in my life. And I promise you, had this not been a part of my life, had I not been taught from an early age to choose the frame of faith, had I not taken steps to build that frame myself, I would have never been able to walk in that faith. But because I had been taught, I was ready and willing and able to take that step for him. Now please listen to me. I go out of my way each week to make it very clear to you. I am not special. I am not unique. I don't have pastor powers, right? I don't have special Jesus juice because I'm ordained. None of that is written. None of that. I am a guy just like you. I'm a person who has chosen to cultivate my faith in God, who has chosen to trust him, who have experienced his provision and his blessing over and over and over, and I'm just a guy that he happened to pick to lead this thing. And the reason we did this series and the reason I'm so passionate about it is because I am convinced if God can do this through me, imagine what he can do through you. Imagine what God can do through a group of people, through a group of men and women, who say, you know what, this is real. I'm going to choose this. I'm not going to walk in fear. I'm going to choose the frame of faith because God is exactly who he says he is. And the reason I know that is because I memorialize what God's done. I remember it. I've experienced it. I hold it. I treasure it. And so when opportunities present themselves, I will walk. I will take a step of faith because I know my God who has been faithful will continue to be faithful. So here's my question. There's several groups today in the room. There's some of you who you aren't Christians at all. Or maybe you're brand new to the faith and you're like, what am I supposed to do? It's very simple. Begin today taking some steps to build your faith. What step can you take? What moment can you memorialize and can you make sure you don't forget and can you cling to? Now, for others of us in the room, we have been Christians for a while. And for you, my question is this, what's your next step? And if you want to know what it is, what's that thing every time you pray? Every time you come to church, every time you ask God something, what's that thing that's always in the back of your mind? What's that thing that's always there and you try to push it away and you're like, no, I don't want to do that. No, God, that's not God. I ate some tacos for dinner and it's got some problems, but that's not God talking. What is that step that, quite frankly, you've been too scared to take because you've been looking at life through the frame of fear? What is the step that if you replace the frame of fear with the frame of faith, if you replaced your idea of I can't with the idea of God can, what's the thing that if you had a perhaps God will move on my behalf faith, what would you do? And then the next question is very simple. What are you waiting on? Look, I don't know what it is, but this entire series has been building to this moment. And I am convinced that there are things God wants to do in you, to you, and through you to transform the world around you. He has been building your faith. You have been cultivating it. And now it's time to take a step. I'm not saying you have to quit your job. I'm saying don't quit your job. Please hear me. But there's a step you can take. Hey, God, I think this is you. If this is you, I'm going to do this and let's see what you do. Hey, God, I'm going to do this and let's see what you do. This is all part of a relationship. It's all part of growing. And it is what God has planned for you your entire life. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he saved you because he wants to have a relationship with you and he doesn't want you to go to hell. Yes, that is true. But he has a higher purpose than just rescuing you. He rescued you so that you could help him rescue others. And now he wants to move through you to transform your friends and family and neighbors and coworkers. There is no telling what God can do in you and to you and through you. And all you have to have is a perhaps God faith. Perhaps God will move on our behalf. We do that by choosing the frame of faith. It's a constant choice. We build that frame. And then we walk. So wherever you are on this journey, take your next step. Choose it. Build it. And for some of you today, walk in it. Don't let today end without taking a step towards God's destiny and design for your life. I'm here to tell you, I'm walking, living proof. There is no greater peace, no greater joy, no greater satisfaction, no greater contentment, no greater experience in life than walking exactly where God wants you to walk and getting to experience what he can do when we trust him more than we trust ourselves. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. And Jesus, I just beg you in this moment to make yourself clear to us. Lord, I pray you make your steps clear. I pray you make your path clear. I pray you make your words clear. Father, grow our faith, strengthen our faith, build our faith. Teach us how to memorialize our faith, Father. Prepare us for the steps you have for us. May we be bold. May we take leaps. And Father, may we celebrate the great things you do through us. It's in your son's amazing and holy name we pray. And as we sing this song, Father, may our hearts just be sealed and celebrate and be ready to take on whatever you put our way.
Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.